This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God.
How old is that kid?
He's maybe three or four.
Poor little redhead kid. That was kind of sad. Did you film your boys in that state, Kenny? Post it on the internet?
I am a shameless self-promoter.
So today, Amari Cooper got traded.
Was traded.
It means that he's not on the Cleveland Browns anymore.
What?
I know, man. It's really sad.
Okay, great.
I don't know what to think of the dad.
I mean, posted it on the internet for his individual gain. Got a lot of retweets.
Oh, my God. Man, even I won't do that.
Kid, come over here. Got more bad news to dish out. Camera rolling, honey? Those test results in?
I mean, that is the football equivalent of a Maury Povich episode, isn't it?
Right.
Like, that kid should be running behind stage right now with a camera chasing him. Mary Kay Cabot joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, are we playing functional football now?
We shall see. But wait a minute. We have to back up for a minute with the poor little redheaded kid, okay?
I don't know what his hair color is. I did not see the video. I have no idea.
Mitch, it was red, right?
Was it red?
It was.
So Mary Kay's seen the video. Okay, Mary Kay has seen the video. All right, go ahead.
Darling, darling little redheaded kid, please, please, you guys, don't ever do that to your children. Do not put a video camera on them or a phone on them when you know they're going to ball their eyes out like that so you can put that out. Please just don't do that. And also, this dad better realize there's something called revenge. And this little boy is going to grow up, and he's going to have technology of his own. So
my God.
Dad better be watching around every corner over the next 10 years.
Oh, my
dear. It's going to be the Paul brothers all over again with this guy.
A lot of talk about brothers anymore. Anyway, God. Yeah, I don't know what to do with that. I feel really bad for the little boy.
Oh, come on.
You should feel bad for the little boy.
You can't keep playing that. Come on.
That is... Man, I mean, I am down with mental warfare for my children, but boy, that's
just
I don't even know where
early.
To go now.
It's a little early to be doing that.
So Amari Cooper is gone. Is anybody else on the docket here, Mary Kay, before we get into the whole Deshaun Watson thing?
Well, they will get phone calls definitely for other guys, especially with teams seeing that they were willing to trade Amari. After that happens, then your phone is definitely going to ring to see if you're having a fire sale over there. I don't think that's going to be the case yet. I still think that they're going to go out this weekend. They're going to try to beat the Bengals, and they're going to keep trying to win football games. I don't think you're going to see a lot of quit-in guys. This is a high-character football team, and I think they're just going to keep going out there and fighting and doing the best they can. But as they get closer to the trade deadline, if it does make sense to move other players that maybe their contracts are up or maybe they weren't going to be here long-term anyways, it is going to be time to restock this roster in some instances, and I do think that other moves could be coming down the pike.
Since Amari is now out the door, and we played some audio earlier for him in Buffalo, he's excited about the new start, going to a winning football team, and obviously competing for a Super Bowl, something that probably wasn't happening here. How do you feel, as someone who covered Amari, and we loved Amari Cooper, but the end of the road here for Amari has not looked exactly Amari-esque, at least from what we had the 2 years prior?
Well, I wrote a column about this the other day, and I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it or read it, but it posted yesterday early morning, and the column basically was the fact that Amari Cooper played like he wanted out of here. I think it all began when he did not get the contract that he wanted. He held out of OTAs and minicamp at a time when they were installing a brand new offense. So that didn't help matters at all. I don't know if a holdout was necessary. I know the Browns were very surprised that he did not show up for those things because, as we all know, the Browns and Andrew Berry, they work very well with their veterans. And when it comes time to restructure a contract or give them their bonus money or their guarantees, they always go ahead and do that. They weren't planning on getting rid of Amari, so of course they were going to do right by him from a contract standpoint. But I don't think that he was happy from the jump. So I think that's where it all began, when he held out and really set the offense, or was part of setting the offense back when he wasn't around for any of that installation. And then I think things went from bad to worse when the reports surfaced that they had offered him in a trade for Brandon Ayuk. And at that point, I think Amari just made a business decision that perhaps he wasn't going to be long for this team, and maybe his head and his heart were not into it. Now, I cannot accuse a player of going out there and intentionally dogging it and tanking it. I cannot do that. But what I can do is suggest that perhaps his head and his heart were not into it this year, because everybody could see it. I'm not telling you anything that you didn't see with your own two eyes. But the route runner, let's just take the Vegas game, for instance. The route runner on 4th and 3 from the 9 messed up his route, and the game was on the line. And if he runs the right route there, then there's a darn good chance that Deshaun completes that pass the way he had in practice all week, and that's a victory for the Cleveland Browns. If they have one more victory right now, things could look a lot different. So that was that part of that game. There was also one that bounced off of his chest in that game. There were touchdown passes in each of the first two games that he dropped. And then after those first two games, he stood at that mic stand and told us that he wasn't practicing the way he should have in those first two games. Why are you not practicing the way you should have in those first two games, when the first game is against your former team, the Cowboys? Everybody's all fired up about this game. It's the home opener against the Cowboys in a season in which you guys are hoping to make the playoffs and maybe even challenge for a Super Bowl, and you just weren't practicing correctly or hard enough or at a game-like intensity for the first 2 weeks of the season. He had 16 yards and 11 yards in those games. In this past game, there was a miscue down the left sideline. He broke off his route and just did not keep running the way that he was supposed to. He's a route runner. Why are you doing that if you're the route runner?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The goal line, a face mask penalty. You always know that the retaliation is going to be the one that's flagged, or in many cases that it is. So it was one mistake after another, and I just don't think that he gave what he needed to this football team this year, and I think everyone suffered for it.
Mary Kay, these are all tremendous points, but if it's true, and I do believe it's true, in years past they have certainly been good with their veterans, what if they were saying, hey, we're going to take care of you, and all of a sudden I'm seeing reports that you're going to trade me for Brandon Ayuk over here? Wouldn't you feel, if it were you, wouldn't you feel that you've been maybe had, maybe you've been hoodwinked, maybe you've been bamboozled, led astray? Wouldn't you feel that way if you were Amari Cooper?
Well, he had a right to feel that way. He definitely had a right to feel that way. But when that didn't happen, then you go back to playing good football and realize that – you can't screw a team over by not giving your best on the field. And again, I'm not saying he intentionally tanked games or he intentionally got a face mask or intentionally ran a wrong route, but something changed in him when he discovered that they were willing to trade him to the 49ers. And they probably should have recognized earlier that this thing had gone very south. I think you have to go all the way back to maybe LOL, I wouldn't have minded at all, to see that maybe this was not going to work out the way that anybody wanted it to. But by that point, they were into it for an $18.79 million restructure bonus. And that's a lot of money that you're going to have to eat if things don't work out. As it stands, they did have to eat most of that bonus. So I still think that Amari made his business decision to hold out, to not learn the new offense, to not rep things in throughout the whole entire spring. That was his business decision. And the Browns made a business decision to go younger at receiver if they could. Everyone knows this is a business and that's how things go. But you must remain professional and do your job to the best of your ability. I think right now the Browns would have at least one more victory if Amari's head and heart had been in it more.
Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com. We love always pontificating on the message these types of moves send to the locker room. Do you think the message to the locker room is that the season is over, or do you think the message to the locker room is if you are not committed and you are not all into the Cleveland Browns this year, we don't want you here?
I think the message in this case, I think it's pretty easy to see that they got something in return for a player that was going to be gone at the end of this season anyways. And I don't think the message is the season is over, because they are preaching to these guys, and I think they're buying in that they can hit the reset button. And yes, for all intents and purposes, this season is probably pretty much over. But they still have all of their division games ahead of them. They have all their conference games ahead of them, and they can still salvage something of this season. The clock is certainly ticking, but they've got Bubba Ventrone, who we will be talking to soon, telling them about what happened in Indy when they started 1-5 and made the playoffs. So it's not impossible. The season is still young. And because you have a team like the Bengals who only have two victories, you cannot count yourself out of this just yet. Now, the only way it would happen, of course, is if the Ravens somehow just went on some kind of a losing streak and they were not themselves. And those things can happen sometimes. You never know. But at this moment in time, they're not out of it, and that is the message.
All right, Mary Kay, so what is next for this locker room? Obviously, we are wondering if other veterans like Za'Darius Smith could be out the door. I know that other people, we played audio earlier about potential Myles Garrett or other veterans that could be involved in trades. Do you think now they'll stay the course for a little bit and just let normal football conduct itself as we see if they can start to dig themselves out of this hole? Or do you think they're just going to be listening to offers and there could be a fire sale?
Well, I think at a time like this, with the trade deadline coming on November 5th and you not being 100% certain where this is going for you, you have to listen to all of those offers. So you absolutely 100% pick up the phone and listen to every single offer. And if you can get something in return for a player who, again, isn't going to be here after this season, or if you have a surplus at a position, or if there's some other reason to move a player, then you will do that. And I don't know how deep it's going to go. What if they decide that they need a new quarterback next year and that they need to package some first-round picks in order to get that quarterback? Who knows how far they would go? I don't know if they have intentions of trading some more of their star players or not. But I would say that anything can happen, that they will be open for business between now and November 5th.
All right. So, boy, oh boy, this is, is Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, are they still safe?
Yeah, I think they're safe. I definitely think they're safe. And I still want to address one thing real quick, and that is because I still keep getting emails and texts about it all the time. I do not believe that Jimmy Haslam is forcing Kevin Stefanski to play Deshaun Watson right now. And I also wrote a column earlier saying, I still think it is the right decision for him to continue to play Deshaun right now, because you have to know what you have in him. You have to get to the end of the season, or maybe close to the end of the season, and figure out if you need to go in another direction at quarterback. There might come a time where it makes sense to play DTR to see if he can be your next Brock Purdy or something like that. But for right now, it's not time to throw Deshaun Watson on the scrap heap just yet. How do you know if there still isn't something there when you fix some of the rest of the problems on the offense? Yes, some of it is his fault. Plenty of it is his fault. But a lot of it is a scheme that just did not work this season. A lot of it is your number one receiver not being completely all in, and your tight end missing most of the season. There are a lot of extenuating circumstances that you have to eliminate those variables and see what you have left in Deshaun Watson for the future.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. It's been a wild, wild journey. Hopefully no children cry after our interview together. We thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got a question when we come back.
Well, if Amari Cooper had any children, they might be crying after what Mary Kay just did.
Okay. 216-4. No, I'm not throwing out the number here. I got a question to ask you when we come back about what she just said. I want that clip back when we come back here. I know I'm asking Mitch to do a lot of stuff. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General, take us with you to work. There's nothing else to listen to. My God, you just heard that. 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.